أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. كلا بل ران على قلوبهم ما كانوا يكسبون. كلا إنهم عن ربهم يومئذ لمحجوبون. ثم إنهم لصال الجحيم. ثم يقال هذا الذي كنتم به تكذبون. كلا إن كتاب الأبرار لفي عليين. وما أدراك ما عليون. كتاب مرقوم يشهده المقربون. إن الأبرار لفي نعيم على الأرائك ينظرون. تعرف في وجوههم نظرة النعيم. يسقون من رحيق مختوم ختامه مسك. وفي ذلك فليتنافس المتنافسون. صدق الله العظيم. We started from ayah number 14 today of Surah Al-Mutaffifin. In the previous ayahs, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us about those who reject the Akhirah, they deny all the divine books, the messengers of Allah sallallahu alayhim ajma'in. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us the reason why they are denying. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا يُكَذِّبُ بِهِ إِلَّا كُلُّ مُعْتَدٍ أَسِيمٍ. Only transgressors and sinners will reject and will deny the Day of Judgment.
إِذَا تُتْلَى عَلَيْهِ آيَاتُنَا قَالَ أَسَاطِيرُ الْأَوَّلِينَ.
When our ayahs are recited to them, they say, these are the tales of the previous people, of the people in the past. So they used to consider the wahi, the revelation, as the stories of the people that were in the past. And they used to say, this is the same thing that all the anbiya have been saying. From the time of Adam alayhi salam, and all the prophets have been promising the same thing, that there will be a day of judgment, and there will be a day of judgment. And our forefathers always have been hearing these, walayaz billah, these stories, that a day will come, that will be the Day of Judgment. But we have never seen, and our forefathers have never seen the Day of Judgment. So, this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قَالَ أَسَاطِيرُ الْأَوَّلِينَ. When they listen to our ayahs and they hear our ayahs, they say these are the tales of the people of the past. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us the reason, main reason for them denying and rejecting the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says, كَلَّا بَلْ نَي بَتْ رَانَ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ مَا كَانُوا يَكْسِبُونَ. Their hearts are rusted because of their deeds. This is the main reason. Rain means rust. رَانَ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ. Their hearts are rusted. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in the hadith, إِنَّ هَذِهِ الْقُلُوبَ تَصْدَأُ كَمَا يَصْدَأُ الْحَدِيدِ. These hearts get rusted just like the metal gets rusted. Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in asked, وَمَا جِلَاؤُهَا يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. Ya Rasulullah, how to clean the rust of the heart? We know how to clean the rust from the metals, but how to clean the rust of the heart? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned two things. Number one, reciting Quran al-Kareem. And number two, remembering the death at all the times. These two things will clean the hearts and clean the rust from the heart. If we really think about it, all of us, day and night, we commit a lot of sins. And these sins are taking their position in our hearts and they are having their effect on the heart. We all have cars or homes, something that we know that's something that has to be taken care of. If we don't take care of those things will rotten, those things will get bad, and after some time they will be useless. We will have to replace them. In order for us to have the maximum use of things that we have to protect them, we have to make sure that everything that will hurt these things, car, we have to make sure that it's rust proof, or if there is, if it's stack taking the rust, then we clean the rust from the car. Do whatever is necessary to prevent the car from getting totally rusted, and then finally we'll have to throw it away. Same thing with our homes. There might be a lot of things around the house that need special care, and if we won't take care of those things properly, then those things after some time will need to be replaced. If it is the driveway, we have to every some time have the driveway paved and do whatever, have the whatever different type of protections they have for applying it on the driveways, apply those things there. With everything that we use, it needs some protection. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is telling us that through our eyes, our mouth, our nose, our hands, all of these senses that we have, we use a lot of things, and a lot of things are getting into our heart through these things that are making the heart rusted. And the rust is getting into the heart. There is no way that we can stop that rust getting to the heart. It will keep on getting there. If a person doesn't want a water to hit his car at all, he doesn't want the snow to hit his car at all, he doesn't want the salt to get to his car at all, it won't be possible. Over here we are talking about our towns here, it won't be possible to do that, because in winter there is always salt and there is snow on the streets. So in order to protect the cars from rust, we will have to apply something on the car. The snow and the salt will hit the car, but something has to be applied on the car, and if the car will start catching the rust, then we will have to clean that rust and make sure that we don't allow it to increase. So same thing, our senses are here with us all the time, and these are the doors to the heart. Through these doors, the oxygen is getting to the heart, is getting our heart rusted. And these things will be getting to the heart. There is no way to stop these. Because if we are living in these streets in the same world, then these things will keep on getting to the heart. But the main thing is, we have to clean the heart, apply some good lotions, protections on our heart that will not allow the rust to get over there. Once these things will get over there, will not allow the heart to get rusted. And if the rust stays, then we have to clean the rust. And these things are iman, that is going to protect the heart, is a protection against the heart getting rusted. And of course the rust still will get there, because there is a lot of anti-iman things, we should say. Anti-iman things that are hitting our heart day and night. And because in spite of having that rust-proof iman over there, but there is so many things that are hurting our iman, that finally iman moves away a little bit and these things keep on hitting our heart. And constantly they are hitting our heart and the heart starts catching the rust. So therefore Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us, if we keep on reciting Quran al-Kareem and remember the death, then the rust will keep on getting cleaned from the heart. And of course we all may have heard the hadith in which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us that when a human being commits a sin, he gets a dot in his heart, on his heart. If the person asks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's forgiveness, that dot is washed away. And if not, it will remain there And the next time the person will commit another sin, it will increase. And will keep on increasing and increasing. And finally, that dot becomes a rust for the whole heart if the person will not keep on seeking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's forgiveness. So now here we learn three things. Number one, as soon as we commit the sin, we need to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's forgiveness right away to clean the effect of the sin from the heart. That rust that is standing over there, that dot, that mark is a rust, is the beginning point. We need to do istighfar right away. And then, unknowingly, there will be a lot of things that will be affecting our heart and will be developing the rust over there. So we need to do two more things for that. Number one, reciting Quran al-Kareem as much as we can. And number three, number three, will be remembering the death at all the times. And of course, it might be difficult for many of us to remember the death at all the times. So therefore, we really need to appoint some time and fix a time. And the best time will be at night time before going to bed, that we will spend couple of minutes, perform two raka'ah salah, and then couple of minutes thinking about our death, when the time when we won't be taking the shower ourselves, we won't be taking the bath ourselves, we will be in the hands of others who will be washing our body, and they will wrap us in some clothes, and then they will put us under the ground. The angels will come and question us. We will be left with our deeds. None of our relatives. None of the things of the comfort that we have in this life and we have collected in our homes will be there. Think about it. If we lose the electricity for one night, if we lose the gas for one night, in spite of having every mean of comfort in our home, we can't go to sleep. There is no electricity today. Therefore, the heating is not on in winter, or the fan and the air conditioning, the cooling system is not on in the summer. So therefore, I can't sleep today. I need to put the air conditioning on. Imagine, nice beds. All the means of comfort are there. Everything is there. Our people that we like and we love, they're around us. And yet, we are not able to go to sleep. This is how much we are used to this comfort. What will be our situation once we are under the ground and just dust around us? All people would do is, we'll put our bodies under the ground, throw the dust on us, and they will leave us aback. They won't even think about what we have to go through. And really, after some time, as we have done it to all of our relatives, they would do the same. The others will do the same to us. They will read Quran for us for a couple of days, and then they might do it once a month for a couple of months, and then after 6 months, after a year, and then we are totally forgotten about. And no one will even think and will even remember who these people were. What would be our situation at that time, and what are the means of comfort that we are preparing for over there so that we won't have to go through the hardships, because that's another life that we have to spend, is a fact of Allah, of our life, that we have to spend the life over there. No matter what we do in this world, we have to go over there. We have to spend the life over there. A person who spends his life in the most hardships in this world and goes over there and gets the comfort over there and he gets the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala over there, that person really have never seen a hardship in his life. And a person who has every mean of comfort in this life and got everything he needs in this world and goes over there and just one snack in his grave, that person have never seen anything good in his life. Imagine, if there is a snake under our bed, would anyone think that I can go to sleep in this situation, whereas I know there is a snake sitting under my bed, and over there is not under the bed. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us, and this is true, this is fact that we all have to face, God forbid, if we go with those type of deeds. Our deeds are the things that will be our snakes over there. That will be the snakes in the grave. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us that they will be all around us if we go with those deeds. Malik bin Dinar rahmatullahi alayhi. He was a thief. And he used to, every night, he used to go and rob some of the homes. He had a daughter he was used to drinking alcohol. So his daughter, his young daughter, would not allow him to drink at home. Whenever, you know, she was young, he used to love her. So she used to come and take the bottle away from him and throw it away. And of course, because she's so dear to him, he won't tell her anything. One of those days, his daughter died. After some time, he saw her in his dream. And in fact, he saw a dream that it's the day of judgment. This was his dream, that it's the day of judgment, and all the people are running here and there, and all of a sudden when he looks behind, there was a snake that was running after him. So he said, I started running away from that snake. As I'm running and running and running, and I'm really tired and I don't know what to do, I saw an old man that was sitting on my way. So I said to that old man, can you please help me? So he said to me, I'm too old. The snake is too strong for me. Therefore, I'm sorry, I can't help you. So he said, I continued running, and this is in his dream. He said, I continued running. And finally, I went to a place where there was a big hole. I looked toward that direction, and that was the hellfire. So I turned around and started running to another direction. As I started running to that direction, I saw a hill. I climbed the hill, and the snake is still after me. It's chasing me. And now I was so tired that the snake was very close to me. And there were some girls. They started shouting at each other and saying, look at this man coming to our direction. So they started calling each other, see if there is anyone who can help this man. And there were a lot of children that started looking from the window. There was a huge castle over there. They started looking from the window. Many of them came out of the door. And my daughter was one of them. So she came, she grabbed me. And as soon as she grabbed me, the snake stopped. He couldn't come to her. So she took me into the castle and saved me from the snake. So I asked her, I said, how come the snake is after me? What does the snake want from me? She said, Dad, these are your demons. These are your sons. So I said, I saw an old man on my way. Who was that? She said, those were your good deeds. Your good deeds are so wicked that they cannot help you against your evil deeds and against your sins. This is why your reward could not help you against these sins, because your sins are too strong. That was the turning point in his life. He woke up, and right away he started praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, doing istighfar and seeking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's forgiveness. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted his istighfar. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed him, and he changed his life, and he became one of the good scholars in Islam. So these are the deeds that we will have to go with, and all of us will be just going with these deeds. So if we think about it, this is what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is telling us. Think about those days. And there are, I would really very highly recommend and suggest that there are books written especially about Akhirah. Things that we will be facing in our graves on the Day of Judgment, in the Barzakh, which means the time between our death and the Day of Judgment. Those books will be one of the very helpful things to read to keep us on the straight path and to remind us of the fact that we will be all facing very soon. It's not too long before we will face those situations and those circumstances. It won't take very long before this time will pass and we will be put over there. This life has no importance. But shaitan have misled us so much that our day and night is just after the worldly life. even those of us who are considered good Muslims, virtuous Muslims, God-fearing people, if we really look at our directions, direction of our life, day and night is just dunya, just the worldly life. That's our main concern for ourselves, for our children, for our relatives, a person who is in the universities, a person who is graduated from one of the well-known universities, although the person may not be doing the salah, he is not fasting, the person does not fulfill any of the ahkam of Islam, we feel proud of those people, we encourage those people, mashallah, you are doing great. What is all of this? Of course, that is good, but we have to realize, without iman, and without salah, without ibadah, without following the ways of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, believe me, all of these things are useless. All of these things are useless. It might be difficult for us to understand this point. And it might take us a while before we will realize that really it is useless if a person is doing it without preparation for akhirah. If a person having all of this, what is he going to get by all of this? Good name in this life, comfortable life in this world, nice castle and nice car and nice beautiful, in a nice, very nice location, he will have his home, his castle. What's after that? This is something that we really need to ask ourselves. What's after that? And is this the end of it? This is what the kuffar believed, that this is the end of it. We will get everything in this life, and then we won't have to be questioned. We are not going to be questioned about what we are doing in this life. But if we realize the reality of this life and the reality of akhirah, eternal life that will never end, subhanallah, will never end. And we are letting all of that go just because of the short life of this dunya. We are really cheating ourselves. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about munafiqeen in Quran, يُخَادِعُونَ اللَّهَ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. They are cheating Allah and the believers. They think that we are cheating Allah. We are saying we are mu'mineen. We are cheating the believers. We say we are one of few people. But in their heart they have no iman. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, in reality, وَمَا يَخْدَعُونَ إِلَّا أَنفُسَهُمْ. They are cheating themselves. Because who's the loser? Those people really are losers because they are not preparing for the real place that they are going to live in. So, this is something that we really need to do it every day of our life, remind ourselves of the same fact, and the same thing we have to remind ourselves again and again of the situation that we will be facing in the akhirah, and our death, the life after death, things that we all will have to go through in our graves. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect all of us in our graves at the time of our death in the akhirah from all the sorts of punishments and hardships. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says their hearts are rusted. And this is another point that I would like to remind. When the heart starts catching the rust, then the hidayah does not get to the heart. If the car is rusted, and you take the spray paint and start spraying your car, thinking that now my car will look real good because I'm going to paint it, and there will be a fresh paint on the car, it won't work. Take it to any car shop where they clean the rust, where they paint the car, and ask him, just paint the car for me. He's going to say, I won't even do it. Your whole car is rusted. I won't even paint the car for you because it's useless. And after a few days, you will be coming back to me and you will have all type of problems and all type of claims against me that I did not paint the car properly for you. Whereas the whole car is rusted, you need to clean the rust first and then we can paint the car for you. So same thing happens when a person tries to show his iman and we satisfy ourselves with some of our ibadahs. These ibadahs are not even getting to the heart. This is just like trying to paint something on something that has a rust on it. We have to clean the rust. And cleaning the rust, as I said, three things. Number one, istighfar. Number two, reciting Quran al-Kareem. And number three, remembering the death. We have to use these three methods to clean the heart and to keep it clean. Without using these three methods, just five times daily salah, up and down, we all see many times, we don't even feel that I have done any ibadah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Throughout the salah, our mind was somewhere else. Our mind was absent. It was only ups and downs. We don't even know if we recited Surah Fatiha. In the second rak'ah, we have to think, what surah did I recite in the first rak'ah? Subhana Rabbi al-A'la, we don't even know that I really said it and my forehead was down on the floor, on the ground before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Totally absent-minded. So this is really, we are trying to just apply some spray paint on our rusted hearts that never works. We have to use these three methods. It's extremely important to use all of these methods every day of our life. So at least we can clean these hearts. And I was saying that hidayah never reaches the heart. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam therefore shows us in the hadith, طُوبَى لِمَنْ وَجَدَ فِي صَحِيفَتِهِ إِسْتَغْفَارًا كَثِيرًا أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ. He said, it's a good news for those who will have a lot of istighfar in the books of their good deeds in the Akhirah. That when they open the books of the good deed, every page of every day is full of istighfar. Has a lot of istighfar. He says, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Tuba, that person will have a real good time. Is a good news for that person. So each page of our life has to be full of istighfar. There should be istighfar all around the page. Beginning of the day, middle of the day, end of the day, around the day, everywhere you see on that page is istighfar. Then only our hearts will remain clean and we will be able to keep the hidayah getting to our heart. Then once we will listen to something that is from the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we will get the hidayah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it will get to the heart. You see, during the month of Ramadan, when we receive the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is a month that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showers His rahmah and His blessings on our hearts. We cry to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we feel our hearts are getting soft now. And of course that is because of the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we don't use the opportunity and we don't continue with that istighfar after the month of Ramadan, praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, seeking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's forgiveness, then of course the rust will start getting back onto the heart. And this is exactly what happens every year. That at that time, it gets a little better because of the rahmah of Allah. It's not because the heart is clean. Because of the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the heart starts getting soft. And then a little later, because we don't clean it, we don't use the opportunity, and we don't continue with that istighfar, we don't keep the situation of the heart the same after the month of Ramadan by istighfar, then it starts getting the rust again. And of course, the time of the rahmah is over. We did not grab the opportunity. We did not continuously use that spray or that istighfar to keep on cleaning the heart from that rust. So it starts getting rusty again. And again, the hidayah does not get to the heart. And this is the reason many times, in spite of being very learned, people do major mistakes in understanding the Sharia. Of course, making one or two mistakes is different than a person not having the right understanding of the Sharia at all. Sometimes you get surprised that a person who spent his life studying Islam and yet he's making such major mistakes in his life that it's ruining up everything in his life. It's ruining up the whole work of his life. Only this time, this last weekend, as you people know, I was out of town. And out of many programs that I joined at that time, one of the programs was called by some people called Ad-Da'wah. It was a conference about how to carry on the work of Islam in this continent. concern from some good Muslims who would like to preserve deen in its original form, and they wanted this work of Islam to continue in this continent, they invited the scholars from all around. The person is working in this field, he started that organization, and he's working in this field for last 23 years. Last 23 years, this is all he's doing. And subhanAllah, when he started that, since you people don't know that who I'm talking about, and inshallah you won't even know, this is the reason I'm mentioning it, and they're mentioning it as an example that sometimes people not having the right understanding and not going through the right channels can make real major mistakes. Imagine he said something that there were 8 speakers over there, and all 8 of them had to say something about it, that this wasn't right and you must correct this thing in your life. Never say these type of things again and don't even think about it. And the next day he had a lecture and he said the same thing again, because that's all he thinks that it's right and this is his faith now. What did he say? He was telling the people that in our deen there is nothing as important as conveying the message. He said da'wah comes first before salah. This is why 12 years in Islam there was no salah, but there was da'wah. So he said, even if you don't do the salah, still you can go to Jannah, but if you don't do the da'wah, you will go to hellfire. And then he kept on giving those type of examples. 12 years. That 12 years, none of the ibadah was there. He said even hijrah came later. So even if you have to do the sins, stay in the same town, do the sins, but at least you have to do that. And he was on and on with those examples, and you try to explain to him, he says, you know, he says, this is the history in front of me. And all 8 scholars that were there, who were invited by the same group to talk about da'wah, they had to reject these points and make it straight to those people that were present over there, and to those very same people who are organizing the that event, that this is not right, and this is not the right way of thinking, and this is something that totally conflicts with our iman. To the extent, the next day, because he was even more emotional from the first day, all the attack that he got on the first day from all 8 people, that he even said it to the point that da'wah is even before iman. So da'wah of what? You don't have food at home and you're inviting all the people. Da'wah to what? You go and open the fridge, you find it is empty, you have start looking around, there is no food at home, you tell the people, please come tomorrow. This is what exactly? So, the thing is, the right understanding is very important. Right understanding will be through using the right channels of learning, and at the same time, keeping ourselves clean from all the things that can affect our hearts and get the heart rusted, wa'ayyazu billah. Because we see, and many times when I attend these type of conferences, most of the time you see the main emphasis is not on the people that are there. They want to make sure that the videotaping is right. Make sure that the video doesn't miss, that cameras, those cameras, video cameras don't miss anything. Because if people won't understand, that's still fine, but at least this is what I had to present to people. This year we did such a big conference. And you know my problem. They have to have me for some reason, I don't know why, but at the same time I tell them, as soon as I get there, all of your video cameras will go back into their boxes. Because I want to talk to you people, I don't want to talk to the cameras. And believe me, the speaker comes and everyone is making sure that, okay, those cameras are pointing right. You can jump in front of the people. That's fine if people don't listen. People can go back and have their tea, but make sure that these cameras are set right, and that person, that the speaker is looking towards the camera also. The speaker has to be also given his attention, not to people, forget about you people. And I have to talk to that camera because that's the most important thing I'm doing in my life. That tape, that will be played to many other people. Anyway, when we see these type of things, which are far from the reality of doing the right work of Islam, then of course the effect is not right either. And then we go back from those type of gatherings without having any benefit from it. At the end, dua, what is dua? Forget about dua. Blessing, what is blessing? We don't even know the blessing. Nowadays, most of the people are learning their deen from where? From computer softwares, internet, audio and video tapes. Ask them, where is the blessing coming from? Throughout our deen, throughout the deen that we have the history of our Islam, people always said before someone, a scholar, that would go and learn the deen from those people, so that the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that descends on these people, that's coming on the hearts of these people, other people are getting blessings of it also. Now, we think that all the blessing of Allah will be coming on the internet, and through the internet I will be getting it through my computer. Or it will be coming on my tape recorder, and then from there I'm getting it into my heart. So the main receiver of the rahmah is the tape recorders and internets and computers, and we will be getting the rahmah also from there. This is something we don't realize is one of the very important part of our learning of our deen and our iman, that we are missing it, and we don't even realize that we are using the wrong channels. Because our deen is a noor. Remember, this ilm of deen, this knowledge of deen, just the way it is in the text, in books, in the softwares, in the programs, on the internet, is nothing really if we have no connection between the knowledge and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the sender of the knowledge. If we cannot connect it there, and we don't know who we are learning it for, and we don't know how to please Him, we are not using the right methods of pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Today I know 100 ahadith, tomorrow I will know 200, and the next day I will know 300, and out of these 300, I'm not using none of these ahadith to correct my lifestyle, to get the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The love of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is not developing in my heart. It's only I'm learning ahadith. I don't see the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam getting into my heart. I don't see the sunnahs of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam getting into my life. Then what the deen is about and what it is for? What is it for? What all of this knowledge is for? Then let's go and become something else. Become doctors, become physicians, become lawyers, become something else that will help us at least in the worldly game. If we are not connecting this knowledge from the main source of the knowledge, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then going a step further, connecting it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, pleasing Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if it is not the goal of the life, then all of this knowledge is useless. And this is exactly the dua of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min ilmin la yanfa'. O Allah, I seek your refuge against a knowledge that does not help. A knowledge that does not help. If that knowledge is not making us better Muslims, if that knowledge is not making us better followers of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then what are we going to do by carrying all of that knowledge? Look in Surah Al-Jum'ah. How this was my lecture, now listen to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explaining the whole this message in a very beautiful way in Qur'an al-Kareem. مَثَلُ الَّذِينَ حُمِّلُوا التَّوْرَاةَ ثُمَّ لَمْ يَحْمِلُوهَا كَمَثَلِ الْحِمَارِ يَحْمِلُوا أَسْفَارًا. The example of those who were given the Torah but they did not carry it. They carried the Torah. ثُمَّ لَمْ يَحْمِلُوهَا means they did not practice it. كَمَثَلِ الْحِمَارِ يَحْمِلُوا أَسْفَارًا. Like a donkey carrying all the luggage. Is like a donkey carrying a lot of luggage. He has a lot of things. It might be boxes loaded with gold and silver, with jewelry, with diamonds. And there is a lot of money over there. a lot of valuables over there. The donkey is the same, doesn't know what's there. It's not benefiting from none of those. It doesn't make any difference to that donkey whether he's carrying pearls, diamonds, or he's carrying dirt. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, getting the book of Allah and then not using it for the purpose that it was given to us. كَمَثَلِ الْحِمَارِ يَحْمِلُ أَسْفَارَ. Like a donkey carrying all of that burden, for what? For nothing to him. He's not going to benefit anything from having something good or bad over there. So, these are the things that are really affecting our hearts, sins. Getting away from the deen of Allah, not practicing the deen of Allah, not learning it from the right sources, and at the same time having the knowledge, having a lot of knowledge, but misusing the knowledge, not practicing it right. If a person, for the sake of conveying the message of Islam, using every haram mean. I remember once, a person, we went to a place, where a person said to me, you know, I objected to some of the things that were there, mixed gatherings and those type of things, and it was such a way that it was difficult for me to think. If I didn't know the address of the place, I would have said I'm in a church, not in a masjid. And really many times, that's the situation that you have to think about. That what was the difference between that place and this place, between going to the church and talking about Islam and coming to the masjid and seeing the same situation, except having people with different colors and different type of walls of the place and different address, that's all. So I told those people, I said, you know, these are not the right things to do. So they said, you know, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam wanted us to convey the message and this and, you know, all of those that normally we hear, long stories. So I said to that person, I said, do you know the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he says that I will be proud of the large number of my ummah, therefore he encouraged every person in the ummah to get married and have children also. So he said, because of the large number of the ummah, my followers, I will be proud and I will tell the other prophets, look, these are my followers, see how many followers I have. So I said, does that mean now we go and tell the youth that because, you know, there are so many people who are not having children, go and start doing whatever haram you have to do and get the children, at least bring your children to Islam. Keep on getting haram children from in the haram sources, haram ways. Commit adultery, wal-ayyazu billah, go and get everyone from the street and get children so that we will have large ummah, so Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam will be proud of us on the day of judgment. Is he going to be proud of us? So if he's not going to be proud of us by doing that haram, same thing we are doing here. We are doing another haram here, and we feel that he's going to be proud of us that you brought 10 people into Islam. MashaAllah. By what? You know, because I brought them, I was able to get them into Islam because I shook hands with her. And she thought, you know, Muslims are so backward and Muslims are, what do you call it, so strict. But MashaAllah, I realized that they are so liberal and they can have such understanding that he can even shake hands with me. With these type of things, whatever other things we might use, we have to realize haram is haram. And whatever will have the mixing of any haram, only today, before coming to the session, the phone was ringing, and I thought, let me pick up the phone and see if there might be something important. I picked up the phone and it was from another town, which is about 400-500 miles away from here. People are trying to build a masjid. They are saying, we are paying the rent up to this point. We are paying to the rent of a place. We are renting the place where we perform the salah. And now, we don't have too much money to start the masjid. So therefore, we have decided, there are some people in our community who said, we will take the loan from the bank and start the masjid. So at least we won't have to keep on paying the rent. I said to him, that will be Masjid Dirar. In the hukum of Masjid Dirar. There was a masjid built during the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Some people built it and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent up Sahaba to burn down that masjid. I said, this will be the ruling of the Sharia about that masjid also. Would you like to go and pray in that masjid then? I said, mixing of haram is a house of Allah. You're trying to build house of Allah by having a war against Allah, he doesn't want that house anymore. You're having a war against him, and you're telling him that I'm going to build a house for you now. He doesn't want the house from you anymore. So we have to, really, we have to think about it. Islam will spread. Will spread, no matter, even if we don't do none of these sins, still Islam is going to spread. And will spread much better than we are doing it with our sins. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promises, أَرْسَلَ رَسُولَهُ بِالْهُدَى. He sent his messengers with hidayah, with guidance, وَدِينِ الْحَقِّ. And he sent him with the true deen, so that لِيُظْهِرَهُ عَلَى الدِّينِ كُلِّهِ وَلَوْ كَرِهَ الْمُشْرِكُونَ. He will make this deen take over every other deen. عَلَى الدِّينِ كُلِّهِ. This deen will take over every deen. The condition is, we have to bring it with the hidayah and with deen al-haq, without changing the haq. If we bring the falsehood, then it's not deen al-haq. If we start doing wrong things, then it's not hidayah. So we are missing the hidayah, we are missing al-haq, and we just want to bring deen. There is no deen without al-haq then. Then others are there also without haq. So we have to bring it with hidayah, with deen al-haq, and that was exactly the way it was brought by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Look at this beautiful hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam before we end this topic. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in the hadith, لَنْ يَصْلُحَ آخِرُ هَذِهِ الْأُمَّةِ إِلَّا بِمَا صَلْحَ بِهِ أَوَّلُهُ. The last part of this ummah will never be able to get better, and will never be able to continue on salah, on being good, without following the steps of those who were in the beginning part of the ummah. And the last part of the ummah, people that will come towards the end, they will try to bring the deen in any other way than it was brought by those that were in the beginning part of our deen, which means Sahaba Ridwanullahi Alayhi Majma'een. If we use any other method than those methods, which means the right way, if we don't use that way the right way, using the other ways, this deen will never be established in the world. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the one who brought the deen, who knew each and every dot about of this deen, details of deen, wisdoms of each and everything that's in deen, he is telling us very straightforward, لَنْ يَصْلُحَ آخِرُ هَذِهِ الْأُمَّةِ إِلَّا بِمَا صَلُحَ بِهِ أَوَّلُهُ. The end part of this deen will be perfect and will remain on the straight path only by following the first part of this deen, the people who are in the beginning of this deen. As soon as we change the direction, then we are not going to be able to do what we would like to do. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in Quran al-Kareem that He is going to make this deen established in the world. وَلَيُمَكِّنَنَّ لَهُمْ دِينَهُمُ الَّذِي ارْتَضَى لَهُمْ. He will establish the deen in this world only when the Muslims will start repenting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and performing the good deeds. One more point that we should remember about this subject. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he started teaching people about Islam. Nowadays, we like people who would support us for our deen. We like a lot of support from people, from Muslims, non-Muslims, everything. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he started preaching Islam, who were the main supporters of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Try to recall some names in your mind. Someone who really helped Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the beginning days of Islam, when everyone was against Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And if you really have studied the seerah, Abu Talib will click right into your mind. That Abu Talib, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's uncle, was one of the most helpers, the best helpers of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In fact, the only one who was able to help Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam against the kuffar of Quraysh. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was Muslim, but he wasn't able, his situation was not giving him the chance to help Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam against the kuffar of Quraysh. He wasn't of that level in the eyes of the kuffar of Quraysh. Abu Talib was one of the leaders. one of the best helpers. Now is the time that Abu Talib is dying. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to him at the time of his death and he said, Ya Amma, kul kalimatan ashfa'u laka biha indallah. Oh my uncle, please say one word so that I can go when I go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I can intercede on your behalf. And Abu Talib did not say the kalima. If just trying to spread deen, helping the deen, and helping to spread the deen was enough, it would have been enough for Abu Talib. But no. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, at that time when he's dying, at that time, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam makes it very clear to him, if you won't become Muslim, then I cannot help you. You helped me in this life, that's true. But I'm sorry. These are my limits also. I have my own limits. That if you won't take the Shahada, I won't be able even to intercede on your behalf to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Akhirah. This is to tell us, just helping by staying far without practice is not going to help us. We have to be part of it. We have to take part of our in our deen in practicing it, in making it part of our life. Otherwise, just staying away from it and saying we like it, we love it, I love Allah, I love Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we can give as many lectures as we want that how much we love Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it won't help us if we are not following Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and we are not practicing the deen that was brought by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Abu Talib, don't you think he loved Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? He really loved Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That was the reason he was helping him. But just that love without practice, without accepting, without iman, and without practicing the deen was not helpful to him. And finally, when he died, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not even go to bury him. Ali radiyallahu anhu came and said, Ya Rasulullah, inna ammaka dhalla qad mat. Your uncle who had gone astray, he have died. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, dig a small hole for him and throw him in that hole and throw the dust on him. That's all we can do for him now. And you as a son, you have to do this for your father. He did not make an istighfar for him. He could not pray for him. And he told him, I cannot even intercede on your behalf on the Day of Judgment. In fact, he told us that in the Akhirah, he will be receiving the punishment of the hellfire, wal-iyazu billah, because of not accepting the iman. So, hidayah. Hidayah is the most important thing. And deen al-haq, the true deen. The true deen, the way it was brought by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there are things he says, this is haram, we have to take them as haram, we have to keep them the way they are, place them in the same position where Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam put them. We cannot pick up a haram from here that we say these are the mixed puzzles and we have to pick up this piece from here and put it on the other place. No, it's all fixed by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that this piece supposed to, it belongs to this place and it has to remain over here. We cannot pick it and put it somewhere else. It won't fit anywhere else. This is haram. It will remain haram till the Day of Judgment. If this is the only way of spreading the deen of Islam by doing the haram, then don't spread it. Allah knows how to spread His deen, but we cannot, we are not allowed to do the haram. If we are doing the haram, we are spreading the haram, we are not spreading deen. Whatever is halal has to remain halal. Whatever is haram has to remain haram. Everything has to remain in its proper position. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, كَلَّا بَلْرَانَ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ مَا كَانُوا يَكْسِبُونَ. Nay, their hearts are rusted because of their deeds. Our deeds keep on getting the rust on our heart. And finally, we don't even see the truth, وَالْعَيَازُ بِاللَّهِ, after some time. كَلَّا إِنَّهُمْ عَنْ رَبِّهِمْ يَوْمَئِذٍ لَمَحْجُوبُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, they will be deprived from seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the Day of Judgment. إِنَّهُمْ عَنْ رَبِّهِمْ يَوْمَئِذٍ لَمَحْجُوبُونَ. This will be one of the worst punishments we can think of. One of the worst punishments any person can think of, that a person will be deprived from seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the Day of Judgment. If that day Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will tell someone that don't even look at me, stay over there behind the curtain, I don't even want to see your face, don't look at my face. Simply means no rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. On the day of exams, if someone will tell a person, well, the teacher says to one of the students, I won't allow you to get into this room today. He makes him stand outside of that room. He won't be able to write the exam. That simply means he's failing the exam. He will have zeros. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on that day will tell some people, this is what he's telling us, if we keep the rust on our heart, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on that day, as he will see the rust on the heart, he will tell those people, you are not allowed to see me today. Keep you in a different place, another room. You are not allowed to see me today. إِنَّهُمْ عَنْ رَبِّهِمْ يَوْمَ إِذٍ لَمَحْجُوبُونَ They will be deprived from seeing the Lord on the Day of Judgment. ثُمَّ إِنَّهُمْ لَصَالُ الْجَحِيمِ Then they will enter into the hellfire. ثُمَّ يُقَالُ هَذَا الَّذِي كُنْتُمْ بِهِ تُكَذِّبُونَ It will be said to them that this is what you people used to deny. The Day of Judgment, the Akhirah, and the hellfire, you used to deny this. He used to reject the hellfire, that there is nothing of that kind. There is nothing that's called hellfire. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, after they will be thrown in the hellfire, they will be said, هَذَا الَّذِي كُنْتُمْ بِهِ تُكَذِّبُونَ This is what you used to reject. Can you reject it even today? When this rust develops over the heart, even in this life, the person keeps on going through difficulties. In spite of having every comfort of the life, the person feels that I'm having some problem. Something is wrong in my life. I don't know what's wrong. He's always in hardship. He's always in difficulties, and not physical hardship. It's not like he's in pain. But inside the heart, there is something that's troubling the person and does not let him have the real smile of the life. Anbiya alayhimu salatu wassalam, sulaha, virtuous people of the ummah, in spite of having wounds in their bodies, the whole body is bleeding, but in their hearts they have real smile of the life, real peace of the life, and they feel that they have the greatest kingdom in the world. So this is really the difference between a clean heart and a rusted heart. This is what we have to look into it, that if we are satisfied with everything around us and we have trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because of our iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we are getting the peace of mind. That simply means inshallah our hearts are clean. And if not, let's try to clean them. Believe me, it does not take long to clean the hearts. It will never take long. It's only a matter of minutes that we repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We cry to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Spend some minutes making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And doing some istighfar. That will inshallah clean the whole heart from every sin we have committed throughout our life. And never look down to yourself. Don't think my sins are too many, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's rahmah is greater than our sins. His rahmah is the greatest thing we have. And therefore, there is no limit to his rahmah. Our sins are still limited no matter how much they are. How many sins we might have, still they are limited. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in a hadith, which is hadith of Qudusi, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, if a person will come to me with sins full of the whole world is full of his sins, and is full up to the heaven, and then this person will say, Astaghfirullah, Ya Allah, I seek your forgiveness and forgive my sins, will seek Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's forgiveness, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I will fill the whole thing with my rahmah and with forgiveness, and I won't even then remind that person that I have forgiven something of your sins. Not even reminding him a favor, that you know I did this favor to you by forgiving your sins. As if there was nothing he have done it in his life. This is the great rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we go back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, open our hearts, seek Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's forgiveness, and pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive all of our sins, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give all of us the right understanding of deen, right understanding of our iman. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide all of us to salat al-mustaqim. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين والمسلمات وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين.